Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 31st, 2020. Why are we easily influenced by society? Question. All people are conformists by nature. They are more willing to follow society than to show their independence. Renowned psychologist of the 20th century Erich Fromm writes, most people are not even aware of their need to conform. They live under the illusion that they follow their own ideas and inclinations, that they are individualists, that they have arrived at their opinions as the result of their own thinking, that it just happens that their ideas are the same as those of the majority. Why are we so easily influenced by society? Answer, because we are entirely a result of the surrounding society. Completely. And what can be one's own in a person? Remark, it may be an illusion, but everyone feels like an individual. Comment, this is given to us, by nature. And then what? Remark, ask any person and they will say, I made the decision to go to this country. It was I who decided to acquire such and such a profession, and so on. Comment, of course, he made the decision. And so everyone thinks. But where did this decision come from? What is it a consequence of? If we dig, we will get to the bottom of the fact that a person has nothing of his own. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020. Can we start with a clean slate? Question. Many people ask if it is possible to change your life in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, to start from scratch. Is it possible to change your family or profession? There are women who really want to change something in their lives, like their profession or marital status, but they are afraid of being judged, afraid that they are violating God's commandments to accept, to tolerate, and to forgive. Answer. Let's put your thoughts and principles in order. First, it is impossible to change your destiny. You just need to reveal it and try to realize it correctly. This way, you become equal to the Creator, as if you are His partner. He created you, embedded in you an informational record of all your states up to the most perfect final state, and now you want to grow in the way that lets you, together with Him, realize yourself. And it turns out that you do become His partner. You begin to understand why this is happening to you, to others, and to the whole world. You begin to attain this whole world in action through yourself. This is a work of one who is aware of one's individuality, one's uniqueness. This is what we strive for. Kabbalah explains this and helps you live this way. From CAB TV's Together About Important Things, July 14, 2020. Why are good people given a hard fate? Question. Why are good, righteous, pure people given a heavy lot in life, hardships related to coronavirus and all similar events, yet what's happening in the world does not affect bad people at all? Answer. Our egoistic world is so distorted that to think that good people should get only good things in it and bad people, bad, is absolutely incorrect. If good people, who seem to strive for good, sometimes get an evil fate, the blows of fate, this is quite natural. After all, our world is all egoistic and evil. And that is why, there is nothing good to expect from it, especially now. When we are beginning to enter the last stage of our correction, accompanied by a pandemic. Now there will be such turns that will teach us, constantly how to change ourselves correctly in order to be in line with the increasingly manifested integral world. Question. But can we somehow prepare for this, make some kind of prophylaxis? Answer. Prophylaxis is a good word. I will tell you one thing, we are engaged in this prevention. The point is that a person must adapt to the future world that is now being born. For this, we must become less egoistic. Therefore, the current virus will shake us, and make completely different people. Moreover, by any means, both rough and delicate, depending on how we will succumb to it. This is first. Secondly, we need to learn how to unite above our egoism, despite it. It is very difficult. Everything begins attaining our nature as evil along with the yearning to reach a correct, good relationship between us. We are entering such a state now when the forces of nature will educate us, very seriously. From CAB TV's Together About Important Things, July 14, 2020. If a woman studies Kabbalah. Question: what if a woman starts studying Kabbalah and develops spiritually, but her husband does not? Should she stop studying? Answer: no, you can't stop it. If you are given the opportunity to develop yourself, your soul, in no case should you stop. Just do so without reproach to your husband. Tell him that this is your hobby, which makes you feel very good, and it is better to have spiritual adventures than to look for some adventures on the side. He'll agree to that. Question: what if he insists on my stopping the studies? Answer: why? If the wife is interested in, say, esotericism, something spiritual, he can even brag about it. Comment: a man is afraid that a woman will change, outgrow him in development, and leave. My response: he may be afraid, but we need to make sure that he prefers it over something else. A man always wants his wife to be nearby, to look at him and serve him. Therefore, we must show him that this is exactly what he achieves. Comment: but as a woman, I can't influence a man's choice. After all, to develop with me and grow spiritually will be his own choice. My response: sure. In the spiritual, it is impossible to force anything. Therefore, it is said that in the spiritual there is no coercion, everyone studies as much as one can, as much as one wants. Maybe he doesn't want to study Kabbalah, but prefers yoga or something else. So be it. You need to allow another person to do such things through love. There is nothing wrong with this, he still remains your partner, your spouse. From CAB TV's Together About Important Things, July 14, 2020. Communication through the Creator. Comment: you're right, people are looking for connections incorrectly. The connection between us is possible, but through the Creator. My response: yes. The Creator is nature around us. Only through this connection with nature, the Creator, can we truly reach the next level of existence, begin to feel eternally alive, connect to the eternal source, and become like it. We will feel ourselves existing not in this mortal temporary body, but in the soul, that is, in the spirit between us. And all this is possible. I hope we get there pretty quickly. From CAB TV's Today's International Situation, June 18, 2020. New Life 1168. Fantasy and Supernatural Powers.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the world of fantasy. Fantasy is something that really attracts grown-ups, children, and books and movies. We'd like to understand a bit better what it is. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, the world of fantasy movies, this is something that was always around. And we can say that it practically started along with humanity. There are different stories, mythologies, that kind of combine between fantasy and history. And also to this day, we see that we adults seemingly know how to tell the difference between reality and fantasy, and still we're really drawn to these movies and series. One of these series with a gigantic number of fans is The Game of Thrones. People simply were glued to their screens watching these series. I think that it lasted for something like 8 seasons. And what did we have there? A world of fantasy with dragons and superpowers and magic and spells. And there's something about it that really attracts us. So first of all, why are we attracted to the world of fantasy? Since always, a world that we understand that doesn't really exist, but still, we're tremendously attracted to it. Some superpower, maybe. Dr. Lightman, we're in a state where we aspire, we yearn to be stronger, to have a greater ability to control, know, understand, manage. In a person, there are many parameters that are unknown, that are under question mark. Who am I? What am I? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in a moment? Where does it all come from? Where am I headed? And so on. Meaning, it's all on as if the axis of time, but it's not necessarily on the axis of time. There are forces acting in the world. Where do they suddenly appear from? Where do they disappear to? We, this planet, and this great, big, black, endless universe. So, there are many questions here that a person asks. Why does he ask these questions? That's another question. A question about the questions. An animal only asks, what do I have to eat here? And how can I, right now, live more safely? What's going to happen tomorrow? If her instinct pushes her to ask or find or do something, then she does. But with people, we have a problem. Because a person feels pretty much miserable, I'd say. That he's involved in everything. And as wise as we are, and the more we know and understand, and as if are capable of more, along with it, we discover how incapable we are, how much we don't know, and we're in a state, in a place where everything is under one great big question mark. Nietzsche. So because a person feels so powerless, he tries to imagine some kind of world of fantasy. Dr. Lightman, let's say to supplement it. So, what I don't know, suppose that it's some kind of special animal, some dragon or something. Yeah, dragon, Dracula, something. Could be that it's some kind of spaceship that comes from someplace. In short, I want to discover that which I don't see, don't know, and don't feel, and give it some kind of a picture that I can grasp, that's in my field of view, that I can perceive, and then as if I have a certain attitude toward it, and not something like, where am I? It's something abstract, Dr. Lightman. Yeah, that I'm really under a dark sky with stars, there's darkness, and Nisa. So, actually, since a person feels so small, so little compared with this tremendous system of nature that controls everything, that he's powerless in regard to that, so he tries to give it some kind of image, Dr. Lightman. He wants something concrete before him. Nietzsche. By the way, according to Carl Jung, a dragon actually symbolizes man's biggest fears. Yeah. And this is actually where this picture comes from. So the idea is that if I can kill the dragon, if I can ride it, I actually ride my fears, my uncontrollable drives. So you're saying that a person depicted different such images for himself in order to somehow to be in kind of contact with them, to imagine them, see them, and this where this fantasy comes from. Dr. Lightman. Yeah. I also remember as a child, there were always superpowers that saved the world, but obviously there are things that we don't know how to do them. We want for things to be good. Suppose Superman. I remember that Superman, one of his goals was to save the world, to bring peace to the world. So the idea behind it is something that people really want, only they have no idea how to do it. And so it seems to them that they need some kind of super force to come and intervene, to become the hero of the plot. So now I actually understand what is their fantasy for, and I understand that it's a very unique ability that humans have and animals don't. Dr. Lightman, almost don't have. Nietzsche. So how does this world of fantasy that's seemingly disconnected from reality, how can it develop in a person? How can it advance us toward the next level of our development so we can really achieve some kind of ability control? Dr. Lightman, we need fantasy and anything creative. Without that, you can't create anything. That's both in music and movies and books and to even build something technical, I need to first of all depict it to myself. This is already fantasy. I have to imagine life when I'm already a grown-up, and what do I want to be then? And then as a child, I choose how to advance toward that. Meaning, if we're not living only by sheer instincts that control us, develop us, like clockwork, but that we want to participate in our development, then it already has to do with my fantasy. How do I see myself in the next moment, 10, 20, 30, 100 years, doesn't matter. Oh, and maybe there's a kind of boundary here between fantasy and reality. Suppose, how do I see myself in 20, 30 years? Okay, so I can imagine that in 20, 30 years, I'm going to be like this and like that. In relation to realistic things, but maybe that I don't have them today, but I'd like to have them in 20, 30 years, and probably I'll have to work hard for it, and so on. But I might say that, look, in 20 years, I want to have a tail and horns and to be able to fly in the air 3 hours straight. So here I've already shifted into fantasy, into the boundaries of fantasy. Now, I don't want to ask about a person's ability to imagine a more advanced state and then work in order to achieve it. Between that and breaking the boundaries of reality, of the familiar, and to bring into my world something that is a complete fantasy. Why does a person have the ability to bring into his world something that is out of this world? Dr. Lightman, I think that all of this is in order for us to advance. Oh, how does that advance us? Dr. Lightman, you're saying, I want to fly. So, exactly, out of this aspiration, we invented airplanes. Oh, okay, I understand. Dr. Lightman, let's put it this way. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, according to what's written in our ancient sources, there's nothing in the world that a person can fantasize about that can't happen. It's impossible for a person to fantasize about something that can't be. If it exists in reality, you can fantasize about it in some way. And if it doesn't exist in reality, you can't fantasize it. An elephant with wings. Doesn't matter. Yes, something like that can exist. Nietzsche, the reality that you're talking about isn't necessarily the one that we see in our day-to-day life, but it's something that our brain can imagine. Dr. Lightman, the brain can imagine, and so, if such a thing cannot be in reality, the mind cannot imagine it. Owen, but where do you have an elephant with wings? Dr. Lightman, maybe it doesn't exist right now before us, but something of that kind surely can exist. Otherwise, it wouldn't come to my imagination. Oh, and you're saying that what a person can fantasize actually consists of elements that exist in reality and maybe connects them together somehow. That's something that we don't see it in the world, like an elephant with wings. So you have wings, you have an elephant, you connected the two, it has an elephant with wings. Dr. Lightman, what, you don't have dinosaurs like that or something? So, an elephant with wings. Okay, I understand. Now going back to my question. Why did nature give man the ability to fantasize about things that don't really exist in his reality? Dr. Lightman, in order to advance. Oh, toward what? Dr. Lightman, that's a question, but probably what he imagines to himself comes as a result of his lack of development. A person has a desire. In this desire, suddenly appear different forms that he wants to meet, that he's afraid of, that he wants to bring closer. It's all in order to develop man. Nietzsche, so how does our ability to fantasize? First of all, I understand that fantasy is a good thing. It's something that advances us, that allows us to continue, Dr. Lightman, in that we are superior to animals. Nietzsche, what I don't understand yet is if I fantasize or imagine something that as if does not exist in my reality, how does it develop me? How does it bring me to my next degree of development as a human being? Dr. Lightman, we can't be without fantasies. We're not living according to instincts, that this is how nature controls, manages babies and animals and the still, the vegetative and the animate in general. But what exists in a person is that inclination to experience the next moment according to what seems to him as good, and not on the level that also exists in animals to some degree, but that a person fantasizes a bit of a different life than the one that he is in now. By this, a person fantasizes a different world and himself in a different way. Meaning he is if writes the script for the movie, for what he wants to happen. This is how we all live. And this is how we're all the time advancing. So it's a special ability. Very special ability. Nietzsche. So maybe our aspiration for fantasy is the aspiration to be connected to some higher forces. Dr. Lightman, we always want to be higher, more superior than we were before. Nietzsche. So our attraction to magic, to higher things, unclear matters. Dr. Lightman, I don't think that it's called magic. We simply want to be more in control of our life in our world and to imagine ourselves on a higher level of development with greater abilities. This is actually natural for a person. There's nothing special about it. It is special compared to animals, but actually it's an ability that we got from nature. Nietzsche, does the wisdom of Kabbalah help a person to be in contact with superpowers? Dr. Lightman, of course, the wisdom of Kabbalah ties a person to these superior forces, that then he really starts understanding what kind of script should he make for his life and to live it out. Meaning here, he's like a script writer and a director and everything. And he himself is the hero. And the entire world is just what's around him that helps him to make this movie. Nietzsche, I think that this is a very important point. There is a world of fantasy that we talked about, that you can have dragons and superpowers and different things that I imagine. Dr. Lightman, like little children, Nietzsche, and there is the wisdom of Kabbalah that gives me the ability to get to know the superpowers that exist in nature, Dr. Lightman, and with their help to build my life, not in this fantasy movie, but in reality. Nietzsche, so the wisdom of Kabbalah compared to fantasy does allow us to touch this desire, a person's desire to touch the upper force, that super force, let's call it that way, but in a realistic, true way. That's not fantasy. Dr. Leighton, of course, it's realistic to the measure to which you can realize it. Nitsa, what do you mean? What turns fantasy into reality? Dr. Leighton, depends on the person. Does he want to realize it or not? If not, then the movie continues according to the upper script. And if he wants to come out of that script and to keep advancing by himself, then he has the options. Olin, I want to ask about superpowers. What I liked most about these kinds of stories were the superpowers that superheroes had, Superman and others. And they all had superpowers, all of these superheroes, because they had these powers. That's what made them superheroes. They looked like ordinary people, and suddenly, in a certain situation, he could suddenly start using his super forces and to do things that no one else could, and that's why he's a superhero. And in the stories, they do things that save the world. There could be also the bad guys, bad superheroes that do things to destroy the world. But what differentiates them from myself is that they have these superpowers. Now, you said that the wisdom of Kabbalah helps a person to be connected with the upper superior forces. Does Kabbalah believe that there are superior, higher forces? Dr. Leitman, it's not a matter of belief. We see that they exist. Oh, and what do you mean? Dr. Leitman, we live in a world of forces, and in relation to us, these forces could be positive or negative. Depends on how a person grasps them. And then the question is, what do I do with them? Oh, and I kind of lost you. What is a superpower? Dr. Leitman, a superpower is a force that is not under my control, that I'm under its control. Well, like what? Dr. Leitman, I don't know. Thunder, rain, earthquakes. Olin, the forces of nature. Dr. Leitman, it's all nature. Besides nature, there's nothing. Olin, so they're stronger than I am? Dr. Leitman, of course. And not only that they're stronger, but that I can't control them. I'm also incapable of knowing in advance what's going on here. Meaning that not only that they're not under my control, but I don't have the ability to predict them. Okay, so these are the superpowers in nature. In relation to them, what can the wisdom of Kabbalah give me? It can give me the ability to connect to these forces. Dr. Leitman, it brings me to a different perspective on all of this. It says, you have the ideal state that exists in nature toward which everything's drawn. And the wisdom of Kabbalah says, I'm giving you the opportunity, the ability to manage yourself and your entire world in order to reach that whole and perfect state. Don't stop along the way to make different movies that seem to you more or less philosophical, psychological. This is your movie. You have to reach a state like the one you're in now. Now you're in a certain state. What does it mean to you? Precisely you, with your qualities, with your abilities, with your thoughts, with your desire, what we call an intellect and an emotion, mind and heart. And from this state, you have to move on to the next state, which is the perfect state. This is your movie. The transition from the current state to the whole imperfect state. Oh, and how does that have to do with superpowers? Dr. Leitman, then whatever you use from nature, these are superpowers. Why? Because you draw from nature forces that work on you, that influence you, change you, for them to take care of you, for you to change from your current imperfect state to the perfect state. And That's where the movie ends. Nitza, I'd like an explanation about this superpower that you just talked about, because previously we talked about superpowers that are the forces of nature, rain, thunder. Here you talked about a superpower that's different, that works on a person and changes something about him, turns him into something else. What is that special, unique superpower? Dr. Lightman, it's the general force of nature called creator, God, nature, doesn't matter how you call it. The superior force, upper force, that includes all the particular forces of nature in it. That's it. Oh, and what changes can it make in a person? Dr. Lightman, everything, because we're inside of it. We're under it. Nature, all in all, is one force. With all of the different variations that it has, it's one force. And we're under that force. We can say that we're inside of it. Owen, and where's the fantasy here? Dr. Lightman, I'd say that fantasy means that I can guess for myself what's the future state that is preferable for me to be in. Not like an animal that wants to be in one place and then in another place. That it's all within the boundaries of this world, the still, the vegetative, and the animate. But I can be in such a fantasy that I can change my qualities. I want to all the time adjust myself to that upper force that controls, governs me. By that I feel that I'm closer to it. And then he and I were more and more connected between us, this force and I. And so accordingly, what happens is that I start controlling, managing my life, the movie of my life. And from fantasy, it turns into reality. Owen, this is something that you repeated twice already. You're talking about forces that allow a person to change his qualities. Dr. Lightman, of course. Owen, and this is my transition from my current state to my ideal state, that maybe at first I fantasize it, but that afterwards I can also realize it. So, a change in qualities. Someone's born smarter, someone's less. Someone's edgy, someone's very calm. Someone's stingy, someone's very generous. People have many qualities. When you're saying that a person asks for and receives the ability to change his qualities in order to advance toward his perfect state that he can fantasize, what qualities are you talking about? Dr. Lightman, we only have a desire. Man is a desire. We don't have anything else besides that. Nitza, so what kind of force does a person acquire once he acquires that superpower, the ability to change himself? What exactly about him? Dr. Lightman, if there is a superpower, then probably I want to be like it. Nitza, true, we want to have superpowers. Dr. Lightman, so what's the problem? Nitza, when we acquire this superpower, how does that upgrade me? Dr. Lightman, I elevate myself to the degree of the superpower. Nitza, does this superhero with the superpower have some kind of super abilities? Dr. Lightman, he's almighty. Nitza, what does it mean, Dr. Lightman, that I'm not under my desires? Owen, you're not controlled by them, by your desires? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, then what controls you? Dr. Lightman, that I decide myself, and my decision is free. Owen, so that's the main thing that changes about the person that gives him superpowers, the ability, he gets that ability to control his own desires and not for them to control him. Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, and so when I asked you what has to change, you said that man is all in all a desire of one or another kind, but the ability to control my desires, this is what makes me a superhero. Dr. Lightman, a superhero in terms of that I'm above nature, Owen, meaning what? That I work with the force of nature, with the Creator, and I want to be above Him. And I get the ability to do it, meaning what? That if I reach a state where I want to change my own nature for another nature, then I'm already above it. Owen, to change or exchange what for what? What do you change? Dr. Lightman. I change my decisions. I reach a state where no one decides instead of me, but I do. But in order to decide, I have to see from one end of the world to the other. I have to be in all of these forces and grasp them. I have to be above the Creator. Owen, man does. Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, is it possible or is it a fantasy? Dr. Lightman, if I choose to be like the Creator, then in that I'm already above the Creator. Owen, I have many more questions, but in a sentence, what does it mean to be like the Creator? Dr. Lightman, he who knows good and bad, that's all you need. The whole of nature consists of two forces. We have to know them and use both of them correctly. Owen, and someone who knows how to do that, it means that he acquires a superpower? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Amazing. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Leadership in the new era. Question: what will be the leadership in the new period? Answer: the leadership of the new era belongs to integral humanity, which has realized that it cannot exist in any other form. If we go this way, we will succeed. During the period of our many thousands of years of evolution, we have come to a state where humanity should be harmoniously connected with the surrounding nature, with the world, with the cosmos. We must stop using only our egoistic forces and egoistic mind. We need to become one whole. Only in this case will we be able to continue our existence. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 24, 2020.